Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is TPU Radio, and I once again am Jason Eastley. It's good to be back with you after a little break. On tonight's show, we're going to have a very special guest. Our guest for the whole half hour will be the communications director for the state of Iowa with the Barack Obama campaign, Josh Earnest. Josh will be here to talk about Barack's positions, some issues, and what's going on in the state of Iowa, which is something we're all curious about. First off, let me bring in Brian McLean and introduce him. Hi, Brian. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Jason. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, good. How are you? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you perfectly, actually.
That's wonderful. Everything's going well, Brian. How about you?
Everything's been pretty good. Just busy as always. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
That's pretty much it, huh? Okay, you got your questions ready for our guest?
Yeah. All ready to go.
Oh, you sound all fired up. Well, that's let's not waste any more time and bring him right in. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the program Josh Earnest from the Barack Obama campaign. Hi, Josh.
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Oh, good. How are you?
I'm doing terrific tonight.
You know, I was thinking right before we went on the air, I said to myself, if anyone's doing terrific right now in politics, it's everyone affiliated with the Obama campaign.
Well, I was going to say, I heard Brian say that he was fired up. I was going to ask him if he's ready to go.
You guys have just had an incredible couple weeks.
We Senator Obama delivered a remarkable performance at the big Jefferson Jackson dinner here in Des Moines on Saturday night, and we're very pleased. We've got a lot of momentum, but we got a lot of work to do. So we recognize we got a lot of work to do, but at least for today, we're happy warriors.
I'll tell you what, just as impressive as the speech on Saturday night was his performance on Meet the Press on Sunday morning. Now, I haven't been one to dish out a lot of praise towards some of these candidates, but that performance on Sunday morning was very solid.
That's good. We were very pleased with it. You know, the irony is the big speech that he gave at the Jefferson Jackson dinner didn't end until after 11:30 on Saturday night, but yet he had to be at the studio, in the chair, and ready to go, 8 hours later.
You can see a little bit of his stubble on the camera, yeah. Yeah, it looked like it wasn't exactly a quick and easy flight back to meet Tim Russert. Okay, now, tonight, what we really want to talk about, because one of the things I get all the time, and I'm sure Brian gets, we talk to a lot of voters. We talk to a lot of young voters with the columns we write and the people we deal with. What we want to do, we hear all the time, at least I do, is there's no difference between Clinton and Obama. From some people, we hear they have a lot of the same positions. We want to take this show and kind of everyone knows Obama's position on the war, but on some of the other issues, they're not so clear. They think they know what one of the candidates stands for, but when it turns out, when you start pointing things out, they go, "Oh, I didn't know that." So we want to take this program and kind of talk about some issues and hear some positions, and talk about Iowa.
Okay, that sounds good. I think the place where I would start, though, that I think is important to recognize is that there are a lot of things they have in common, and they're proud of that, right? I mean, these are two leading figures in the Democratic Party. Our party is, they share a lot of basic common values, but there are some very important differences in this race, and between the candidates, and I think those very important differences, have significant consequences for the future of this country, and I do think will ultimately decide the race. So, before we get into the questions, I would want to preface this by, it's not as if they differ on every single issue on the spectrum, but the areas, where there is significant difference are important, and hopefully we'll have the chance to talk about them tonight.
That's a very good distinction. Because the core Democratic values are pretty much the same, whether you're talking about the candidates at the top or the candidates at the bottom.
Sure. I think
Democrats basic core values.
Exactly.
But there are, and I do think sometimes, especially if a voter or a potential voter is getting their attention or their information out of media, sometimes that media gets caught up in the attack, the horse race, the attack, tag, you're it kind of stuff, and they don't really talk about issues very much. I'm going to let Brian take the first question, if you don't mind. Brian, you ready to go?
Yes, I'm quite ready to go. Actually, I had the pleasure of meeting Obama at the Iowa State campus when he visited there about a month ago, And I will say this, he's a very charismatic and he's a very likable guy. I've made it a habit of myself, basically, to be a pain in the butt to just about any presidential candidate that comes my way. But I found it very difficult to do with Obama. He's an amazing speaker. But again, I'm not too clear on some of his positions. One of my primary questions for you is, what exactly is his, what does he plan to do with the turmoil in Iraq? Honestly, his position, you can even bring in the Biden resolution to divide up the country. Does he want to pull out the troops right away? Does he want to keep them in for a little while? How does he want to do this?
Sure. He laid out a pretty comprehensive, specific plan back in early September, coincidentally in Clinton, Iowa, of all places. he delivered an important speech where he sort of laid out his vision or his solution, or at least some of the things that he would do to try and work toward a solution in Iraq. The first and most important part of that speech is where he talked about his belief that we need to be as responsible getting out of Iraq as we were irresponsible getting in. And what he means by that is he believes that the military should move immediately to begin withdrawing troops at a responsible rate of about one or two combat brigades per month.
Okay.
And at that rate, all of the combat brigades of American troops would be out of Iraq in about 15 or 16 months. So if we started that today, we'd be out by basically early spring of 2009.
Okay, I've got a follow up real quick. That sounds like a good plan. However, with the difficulty that we're having currently with Iran, it's pretty evident that there are plenty of people out there ready to go to war with them, whether we got backing or not. More than likely, we won't. How would that affect this sort of withdrawal plan if things with Iran get to the boiling point?
Sure. Well, I think there are a couple of things here. The first one is The rising temperature, if you will, in terms of our relations with Iran, are exactly the reason that Senator Obama opposed the Kyle Lieberman Amendment that was passed by the Senate a month or so ago, that basically called the Iran Revolutionary Guard a terrorist organization and opened the door and offered an excuse to the Bush administration to go to war against Iran to fight that newly labeled terrorist organization. Now, nobody, or at least no senators that I can imagine, has a lot of affection for the Iran Revolutionary Guard. But it's a very different thing to once again lay the groundwork and give permission to the Bush administration to open the door to a military conflict with a country. And that's why Senator Obama opposed it. The other thing is that it's very possible that President Bush would make the type of argument that you're alluding to, which is that, well, because of these rising tensions, because this is a terrorist organization, and because we have an open door to military action in Iran, for strategic reasons, we better keep some troops in Iraq. And frankly, we need to start getting our troops out of Iraq. Our presence in Iraq is raising the temperature there, and it's just making it more likely that we could find ourselves in military conflict with Iran before anybody is ready and before that war has been authorized.
What about the permanent bases that are currently being built in Iraq to house military personnel to keep things under control there?
Senator Obama is not in favor of having permanent military bases in Iraq. He believes that we should redeploy our combat brigades out of Iraq. It may make it, it certainly does have some, there are some permanent bases in the region, and they're there for some very important strategic reasons. But in most cases, we are invited guests of the host nations, and they're pleased to have us there. It's also clear that we do need to have some diplomatic personnel in Iraq, and that there would be some sort of American presence, but it would not be a military combat presence. Most people and experts who've looked at this have said that our continued military combat presence in Iraq is actually contributing to you know, the increase in violence that's taking place. That if we could lower the temperature by getting our combat troops out of the way, you know, I guess the other thing that the other point that I've not made here yet that's also important is Senator Obama has nothing but the highest respect and gratitude to the men, to our men and women in uniform who've served this country very courageously in Iraq. You know, and there are some probably on the extreme right wing who would suggest that Senator Obama's belief that we should remove our combat troops from Iraq is in some way a slight or criticism of their performance, and it's not at all.
Well,
in fact, the opposite is true. Senator Obama believes that we should honor, you know, their service to this country, you know, by bringing them home in a responsible fashion.
Okay. Now, on this topic, let me expand the discussion a little more. One of the unique things about the Obama campaign and Obama's position so far has been that he has come out with, along with Senator Edwards and Senator Richardson, I believe, and Senator Biden, a comprehensive strategy to combat terrorism. I'm surprised that more people don't actually know about this. But I was wondering if you could just take a few minutes and tell people how an Obama administration would handle and combat terrorism differently than the present administration.
Sure. I think the first thing and the most important thing is we do need to recognize that that the entire free world has a significant stake in the ongoing war on terror, and the entire free world is frankly on the same side in this war. And what this administration has done irresponsibly is to alienate so many of our allies and isolate our country on in the international community. So the first thing that Senator Obama would do in terms of why he should be elected president is that his election would actually send a clear signal to the whole world, and frankly, not just to the countries that we consider to be our allies, but to every country around the world, that the United States has changed direction, that we believe in something different, that the Bush doctrine of isolating our country and antagonizing our allies has been repudiated, and the American people are ready for something new. They're ready for something different, and they're ready for a different kind of leadership. And electing Senator Obama as the President of the United States would send that unmistakable, clear signal to people around the world that we're going to start doing things differently. And what specifically Senator Obama would do differently is that he would choose to engage countries around the world in the fight against Islamic, violent,
global terrorism.
Extremism. I'm sorry?
How about we just substitute the word terrorism so we don't necessarily label anyone? There's many different types of terrorism.
That's certainly true.
And actually, according to the definition put forth by the White House, technically the White House is the terrorist, which I would like forward. So
I just wanted to take a minute and point out that we have a group of Democrats and an independent. Brian's an independent. Did you ever think they would spend the first 13 minutes or so of a discussion talking about foreign policy?
Well, I think the way that this administration has handled foreign policy means that we should be talking about it. Senator Obama spends a lot of his time talking about it, and it is an important issue in this race, so I'm glad that we have been.
Because the conventional wisdom, the historical thinking in American politics has always been Democrats domestic, Republicans foreign. This is just another example of how this year has turned everything upside down.
Yeah, I think that's true. I really do think that the way that this administration has so badly mishandled our foreign policy means that it is deserving of our time and attention. So, I think that there are some pretty good reasons for that strange occurrence.
Yeah.
I guess I have a quick question for the whole foreign policy, round it off sort of.
Sure.
What is Senator Obama's position on preemptive war? Because that is something that Bush pretty much came out with. We went from defensive to offensive, and that really started hurting us around the world, hurting us here. What has Obama said about the doctrine of preemptive strikes and preemptive war?
Sure. Well, what Senator Obama has said is that we need to reengage with the international community.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing so, we do several things. The first one is that we make it less likely that we're going to have to go to war. That if we can start building some powerful international coalitions as opposed to acting unilaterally and isolating our country, that is an important first step to a more peaceful world. So I think that's the first, and I think that's the most important thing. The second thing is as the commander-in-chief, he would take very seriously his primary responsibility to keep America safe and to keep Americans safe. One of the things that he's talked about is he does believe that some of our military infrastructure has actually been degraded by protracted deployments in Iraq and, you know, other places in the Middle East. So it probably is time for us to make some important investments in upgrading, you know, for example, National Guard and Reserves infrastructure and equipment, and looking at expanding the number of troops in the military to make sure that we can handle all of our responsibilities around the globe. But all of that is part and parcel of keeping America safe and re-engaging in the world so that we don't have to rely so heavily on our military might, that we can exercise the other sort of power centers that we have, as the greatest nation in the world in terms of, our diplomatic power. Even our economic power is significant in some of these disputes. And Senator Obama, as president, would more responsibly use that power to hopefully avoid some significant military conflict.
Okay, it's halfway through the show. It's time to change gears a little bit. My regular co-host, George, has a question, I believe, about domestic policy. George, you there?
Yes, I am here, Jason.
Okay.
How you doing, George?
How are you, gentlemen?
Doing great.
Josh, thank you very much for...
absolutely peachy.
For taking part in this. It's great to have you here.
Thanks. I'm delighted to be here.
My main thing that I'm really kind of fascinated with is centered around how Senator Obama is portrayed in the media. So one of the things that I am kind of interested in knowing is your opinion on Senator Obama, Senator Clinton, and Senator Edwards being portrayed in the media as rock star candidates. That seems to be the colorful phrase that the media has designated those top three. I'm wondering your opinion on that particular phrase.
Well, you know, I think part of that is because there is so much interest in this race. The Democrats are, like never before, engaged and excited about this contest. And I think that is a very, very good thing. I think it has led to a little hyperbole in the coverage sometimes, but, you know, I don't fancy myself a media critic in any way. You know, I think just as we've had a pretty detailed discussion about policy, I think in general, the media has done a pretty good job of talking a lot about the policy differences and the complicated issues that have been debated over the course of this campaign. I think that's, it may be one of the benefits of having such a long campaign. I mean, if you think back, I mean, this is a campaign that really began back in, I know Senator Clinton began her campaign at the end of January, and Senator Obama began his campaign in early February. I mean, even Iowa Governor Tom Vilsack announced for president the day after the 2006 midterm elections. So this is a long campaign, and I think one of the benefits of that long campaign is that there's been enough time and attention focused on a lot of the important policy issues that this country is facing. So I think that's a good thing. But we've definitely gotten our fair share of rock star headlines in this campaign as well.
Like the flag lapel.
Well, I think yeah. Again, I'm not really a media critic. I think that was probably one of the darker moments in terms of the history of American political journalism.
Oh yeah.
One of the more ironic things, Senator Obama happened to be in Iowa that day, and I actually happened to be traveling with him that day. The thing that got lost in the coverage, on this day in which there was a lot of talk about his flag pin and whether that was going to lead Republicans to question his patriotism in one form or another. The truth of the matter is, earlier that day, and Senator Obama's first public event that day, was an event in Waterloo in which he, I kid you not, was rolling out his plan to provide better services and support to National Guards men and women and reservists and their families. I mean, it doesn't get any more patriotic than doing more to stand up for our volunteer soldiers.
And just to point out, that plan was totally lost in all the coverage.
Right. That's exactly right.
Every story for, let's say, a 48-hour cycle after that was about a lapel pin.
Right, right. So if people in the media and other places are really concerned about talking about and evaluating the candidate's patriotism, it's ironic to me that we're going to sort of brush aside this detailed, serious proposal to talk about what more we can do to support our citizen soldiers, instead to talk about a piece of men's jewelry.
It is.
It's a dark day for American political journalism.
This is what we call a distraction issue, right, sir?
Absolutely.
Also, by the way, your previous answer about not being a media critic was spoken like a true communications director who works with media every day.
That's exactly right.
Okay, yeah, we don't want to burn any bridges. Okay, let me bring in my other co-host, Will. He has a question, I believe, about China and trade.
Good evening, gentlemen. And
Will.
Good evening.
What's going on, Will?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. Glad to do it.
And my question is, what is Senator Obama's position on China's unfair trade practices that is melting down the U.S. economy?
Sure. Well, it's pretty clear that this administration has failed on a number of fronts as it relates to our relationship with China. The first one is doing a very poor job of ensuring that the products that are coming into this country from China are safe. I mean, everything from toys to dog food have been shown to be dangerous to Americans. You know, as I mentioned earlier, it's the job of the President of the United States to ensure that this country and its citizens are kept safe. And because of his failure to enforce trade agreements with China, our safety has been put at risk in a very real way. So I think that's the first thing. I think the second thing is, we need to do a much better job of not just burying our head in the sand when it comes to evaluating the pretty gross disparities that exist in terms of our trade with China. We have a situation where there are some pretty significant tariffs and barriers to importing, or I should say exporting, American goods to China. But yet we basically have, rolled out the red carpet for Chinese goods, many of which are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there needs to be a serious reevaluation of our relationship with China, particularly in the way in which we trade with them.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. I've let everybody ask their questions, but I wanted to talk. I want to get a little bit old school liberal and ask you: do you think the economy is going to play much of a role in this election?
I do think that the economy will play an important role in this election. Frankly, because there is a growing sense, I think, among many people out there, that our economy is becoming, frankly, less and less fair. It's becoming harder and harder for folks who work hard and play by the rules to make ends meet, to provide for their families, and frankly, to do something as basic as achieve the American dream. And I do think that's an issue that's on the minds of a lot of people who are going to show up on caucus night. And it's frankly something that Senator Obama is talking about quite a bit on the campaign trail. In fact, just this morning, Senator Obama gave a speech to a United Auto Workers conference in Dubuque this morning. And in that speech, he talked about his lifelong commitment to fighting for working people. And for, he started out his career in public service as a community organizer on the south side of Chicago. He was somebody who'd been hired by a coalition of churches to come and try and restore some hope and some economic opportunity to a neighborhood on the south side of Chicago that had been decimated by the closing of a couple of steel mills. This is something that Senator Obama has been fighting for his whole life. And one of the things that, one of the lines that he delivered today that I thought was terrific was he talked about how, that there are a lot of people, who are in politics and are looking for the support of working folks. But he's somebody who was actually brought into politics by working folks because of his commitment to fighting on their behalf.
Yeah,
it's an important part of his candidacy.
I read an article. I'm not going to say where it came from because actually I don't remember. The article, though, about the speech today, what was interesting about it is they actually quoted him. The only quote in the article was his mention of Hillary Clinton's changing position on NAFTA.
Yeah.
Which I had to actually do some digging to find the rest of the speech. But the point is about trade agreements, because jobs are a big issue, especially here. I'm here in Pennsylvania. Job elections are won and lost on economic arguments around here. What about the economy and jobs and trade agreements? Where does Senator Obama, because you kind of touched on it earlier, where does he stand on trade agreements?
Sure. What he has said is that he said he does not support, and as president would not sign, trade agreements that do not have strong and enforceable labor and environmental protections. And too often, and you know, NAFTA is a pretty classic example of the kind of trade agreement that, because it doesn't have the necessary environmental labor protections, has actually weakened our economy in some ways, and certainly made things a lot harder for working middle class families in this country. As Senator Obama likes to say, it's about time. We can't just evaluate trade agreements about whether they're good for the bottom line of big multinational corporations. We need to start evaluating trade agreements to see if they're good for the American worker. And that's the principle that he would use in terms of, signing trade agreements with other countries. I mean, the other thing that Senator Obama, is eager to point out to people is that he's a realist about these sorts of things, right? It's the 21st century. That we do have to acknowledge that we are a part of an international economy, and it's an international economy that we're competing in. But it doesn't mean that we should give away the farm, every time that we have a country that wants to try and trade with the largest economy in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I also wanted to ask you, speaking of domestic issues, about the mortgage crisis. What would President Obama do? Or does he have a plan or a policy laid out yet towards...
There are a couple of things that he's talked about. I mean, the first one is there have been some pretty deceptive marketing practices that some of the mortgage companies have engaged in, and that's something that he would crack down on. The other thing that he's talked about is he's talked about how intimately involved a lot of the credit and banking companies have been in writing some of these laws that have guaranteed them some pretty significant advantages. That these regulations are no longer written to protect American homeowners. They're written to protect the profit margins of the banks and the mortgage companies. So, really one of the foundations of Senator Obama's campaign is his commitment to go into Washington, to standing up the special interests, and fighting on behalf of working families that are trying to get by. They're trying to pay the mortgage and save a little money for retirement and afford health care costs. And all of those things are getting harder in no small part due to the activities of special interests in Washington. So that's something that he's running for president to change.
Well, we have about 3 minutes left in the program. Josh, could you please come back on the show again sometime?
I would be happy to do it.
Because as we have said on this program with our guests, a half hour just isn't enough for some people. I really think we could just spend an hour. Yeah, so if we can work out the scheduling, we would love to have you back on. Gentlemen, stay on the line here. I'm going to let Josh go. Thank you, Josh, for coming on.
No problem.
To talk to you again really soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys. Have a good evening.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Josh.
Have a wonderful evening. Good night.
Okay, gentlemen. Ooh. Everybody else still on the show?
Yes.
Yep.
We have a couple minutes. Let's wrap this up. I think that was a very illuminating discussion.
It helped clear some things up. Like you said, a half hour is not enough, though I had quite a few questions on my mind, and unfortunately weren't able to get to them.
You could have actually taken up the whole half hour, Brian. Brian was playing the role of George.
Half hour?
We're only bracketing in half hour segments right now. I think next time we have a guest on, we're going to do an hour, guys.
That sounds good.
A good way to go. So that we can get everybody brought in and you ask a few questions. I would have kept our guest on if anybody would have wanted to shout out a follow up or any other question they had. I'm sorry, Will and George, for bringing you guys in so late.
Well, that's okay.
That's okay. I didn't really stumble into my question, so that was a good sign of improvement.
Yeah. Well, George, we're breaking you back in slowly because you've been gone for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
George, Brian, I seriously think Brian's out to take your job now, George.
I noticed. I really wanted to say something, but all I could think of to say was, I agree.
We're
taking Will's job, and we're outsourcing Will to Pakistan.
That's three people agreeing with each other.
Okay, guys, any last impressions of our guest or anything he said? We have 2 minutes left before we got to go.
I just think he was fascinating as hell. Everything was... very forthright, he was very, upfront about everything. He basically did a very good job of being like a communications director for somebody who basically kind of thrives on being a political outsider.
Exactly.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Who gives you
Will,
talk, which
Will,
is nice to hear.
I swear to God, Will, if you say I agree with George and leave it at that.
I know. You're just right down the street.
Yeah, I'll be there. Remember, I have a car now and a roommate, so I'll be there in like 5 minutes. John, I'm talking to my roommate. Brian, what was your final impressions of their guest and the answers and everything else?
He did a very good job of answering the questions. I mean, there's still some foggy areas there, but you know what? I'd hate to see what exactly would come out of a Clinton communication director's mouth, but he was actually pretty clear and straightforward, I really appreciate.
I need to compliment.
What, with
I need,
a laugh.
before we leave the air tonight, I need to compliment everybody. We did not bash on Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Damn it.
As much as we wanted to, I know I did. I'm sitting there biting my lip trying not to just burst out laughing.
I was holding back.
That's
oh,
totally
you know me. You know me. I would have really, that would have taken up a half hour. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, guys, it's 8:30. I'm sorry that we did have a caller on the line, but as I noted everywhere, we couldn't take calls tonight. We just had too much to get through. Hopefully we'll have Josh back on, and he'll take some of your calls. For George... Boy, this is a big mouthful tonight. For George, Will, Brian, I'm Jason. Thanks for being on the show, and we'll be back Sunday with a new show.
See you then.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.